My guest today, Mina Wu, she's the Associate Vice President of Continuing Education and Workforce Development, and she's going to talk to us about those opportunities that we have without having to go back to school to pursue a degree per se, you know, of these other ways and we can continue to learn, we can continue to maybe explore, you know, I wanted to be a ballerina when I was little, right? And that's something I never did, but it's not too late. And I don't have to go and pursue a degree for that. And I don't have to go and get a formal education for that. I can just come to HCC and take some ballet classes here and there and, you know, explore that side of me. So Mina, thank you so much for joining me this morning. And thank you for taking the time and having this conversation with me.
Thank you for having me.
So before we dive into the continuing education and the workforce development side of things, I always like to get to know my guest. I always like to hear the stories. I always get inspired by finding, I even found a love story with my last guest, you know, as the reason how and why she landed at HCC. That was my first love story. So I'd love to hear from you, you know, what inspired you? How was your path, you know, getting to where you are today at HCC?
Well, so Chris, first of all, I would like to say you did a wonderful job of describing our division. So kudos to you for that. So like you said, my name is Mina Wu, and I am the Associate Vice President of Continuing Education and Workforce Development. And my journey here has been quite interesting. So after I finished my master's degree, I actually had a degree in counseling. So I was waiting for a job that was supposed to start up in November. And, you know, between May and November, it's quite a long time for you to be just waiting for the job to open up. During that time, my parents had retired, and we received this publication from Howard Community College saying, we have English as a second language classes. And my parents are like, well, you know, we are not doing anything. We're retired. Why don't we check out these classes? So I took them to the registration session. And, you know, because I'm bilingual Korean, I saw other people who were there to register for classes. So I went around, started helping people. The nature is that I love helping. So I just went around helping people. And the director then, Rebecca Price, looked at me. She goes, do you want a job? And I said, sure, I'm not doing anything. So my love affair with Howard Community College started quarterly, serendipitously, with me stepping into our registration session. And for a while, I had two jobs. I was doing, you know, counseling at a local church and you know, some ministry there, as well as here at the college. And pretty soon I said, I just love my work at Howard Community College so much. So I just stayed. And it's been 20 years. Since 20 years, yes. It like amazes me every time I think about it, going, wow, I've been here for 20 years, but I fell in love. I love the work we do, and I never left. So when we say we are the best place to work for, we really are, because we really have people who work here for years and decades.
Absolutely. And you know, it's really great to see all of those emails when we get it is like, you know, congratulations on 10 years and 15 years and 20 years. And like, wow. I mean, it's people do stay at HCC for long periods of time. And I love your story. I love that you just went there, you know, to explore classes and that became into a job. I absolutely love that story and a career that you've been loving for 20 years. So I thanks for sharing that. I mean, I really appreciate it. So when you first came to HCC with your parents, you know, for those classes, and that was English as a second language, you said, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You found HCC through, you know, through information, through community information, you came over there. I want to go back to that experience that maybe your parents had. Did they actually take the classes? Did they actually enroll and start taking classes at HCC? Uh-huh. So let's talk about that experience before we and I know it probably was a little different for you because you started working right away, but you know, but let's go back to that. Let's go back to your parents and maybe the difference that it made and that experience that they had as students at as HEC learning English as a second language.
Yeah. So, you know, we've immigrated here in the 80s. So, you know, they lived here for a while, but because they worked in the Korean society, they never really had the need to learn English fluently. I mean, they knew they had survival English, they had conversational English, but they wanted to be fluent. So when they had the opportunity, and now that they had the time, they really wanted to take advantage of that. And they were quite scared. And one of the reasons why they dragged me along, because they're like, we are seniors and we're not sure if we can go to college. So, you know, there were a lot of insecurities, but as soon as they stepped in, the college and everybody was so welcoming that it just melted away. And then once they got into the classes, they saw that class was quite diverse, and not only in, you know, ethnicity and the countries and the languages, but in age. I mean, they had people from 18 all the way to like 60, 70, 80 years old, and they felt like they fit right in. And it was an environment where they not only learn from the teacher, but they learn from each other and they help each other out. So it was a very positive experience for them.
You know, I had a similar experience with my mom. Now my mom, she had no English. I mean, your parents had some sort of understanding. My mom had no English, so she was totally intimidated. And it was really interesting because we got to the English as a second language line, and I was prepared to do all the talking for her. And the person at the table said, you can step away to me. You can step away and we need to talk to your mom. And, you know, both of us just looked at each other like, oh my gosh, right? What are we going to do? What's going to happen now? But it was great because, you know, from the beginning, they wanted to make sure that they had a clear understanding of what level at. It was also very clear that she needed to do that herself. It was like a way of making sure that I wasn't telling her, you have to go. She actually wanted to do it. And it was pushing her from the beginning. Pushing her from the beginning to use the very little few words that she knew at the time in English to try to get herself, make herself understand. And I thought that was empowering. I really thought that was so empowering to see them in a safe environment, pushing her to believe in her abilities, you know, however large they were in English, to just take care of that herself. And I really appreciate it. Mm-hmm. And she took a few semesters of English at HEC, and she was extremely, extremely happy with the experience. She loved her teacher. She saw her as an inspiration, and same as you said, diversity in so many ways. She didn't feel like the oldest class, you know. She said there's a few of us, it's not just me. And the other thing that she really appreciated was that it was, you know, people from different ages and from different countries. So everybody had to speak English in order to be able to communicate. And that really pushed her also to just stay focused and continue to practice that English. So that was, you know, we have a bit of a same experience. I didn't get a job by going and helping others, but but I am still working at HEC, just got there in a different way.
Wonderful.
So, yeah, so what's the main goal of the Continuing Education and Workforce Development Division?
You know, we have the same mission as the college, right? They're providing a pathway to success. And for some, that pathway may be a degree, you know, like you said, an associate's degree or certificate. But for others, you know, they may have other successes as they define it. And we are here to serve them. I always say continuing education, it puts the community in Howard Community College, because we serve all the people in the community who are here for different experiences. So, you know, we serve kids who may want to come here and use that summer time to better themselves, learn coding, learn math, learn, you know, increase their writing skills. We have high schoolers who are doing test prep. We have people who need to get to a job really quickly. And we have very short-term trainings, you know, 3 to 6 months that lead into a highly in-demand jobs. We are here for some of the people with degrees, like you mentioned, who want to come back and do further certificates, continue educations, or higher level certificates to put them ahead of the pack and get them recognized. And, you know, we have seniors and community residents who want to enrich their lives through art, music, history, and all the other things that they can learn about. So, like I said, we are here to provide pathway to success, and success is whatever they define it to be. You know, for kids, it might be, I want to learn coding. For our seniors, it might be, I want to, you know, stay healthy. And for professionals or employers, it might be, I want to get a better skill. So we are here to provide them the pathway to their success.
So let's talk about the pathway a little bit within the Division of Continuing Education and Workforce Development. It's, you know, it's very clear when somebody comes and they say, I want to do sociology, or I want to do anthropology, or I want to do coding, like you were saying, you know, I want to go into IT or nursing. And there's a full career path for that. But when somebody's looking to just enhance their lifestyle or explore something, right, do they come and they just choose from a pool of different classes? Or do you guys offer, like, if you're interested in art, you know, there's all those different classes that you can take? Or do you know what I mean? Since it's not a career per se, how does one come and I guess, choose and find these options within the Continuing Education Workforce Development Division?
Yeah. So I think, you know, people don't automatically think of continuing education and workforce development when they are looking for classes or things. So what we do is we try to be in the community a lot to help them to understand that we have options other than just the degree programs at the college. So we do a lot of marketing. We do a lot of service in the community to make those connections. And we send out information and brochures into our residents' homes, as well as a robust presence on the website and social media to help them understand. And we work really closely with career services, and we have information specialists who work within the division to say if they have a goal. You know, usually people don't come and say, I want a job, I'm not sure where. They usually have some kind of a focus. So they might say, I'm really interested in allied health, but I'm not sure what, right? Then our information specialist would sit down with them and talk about different options we have and talk about different career paths. And we do a really good job of transitioning them into a degree program if they are interested in continuing. So we have what we call stackable credentials, where people can take a certificate, get a job, and then continue learning and get a better job. And they continue to grow professionally as well. Well, as in their education. So we have that. And then, you know, a lot from word of mouth. We have our best students go out and talk about their experience, and they come through us because they're like, so-and-so said you guys have this, and they had a really good time. So, you know, we really rely on our students who are just the best.
So let's talk a little bit. Let's highlight maybe some of the different classes, some of the different programs and courses that you guys, maybe the most popular ones, or maybe some that you guys are seeing that the market is demanding the most right now, or the ones that you're most proud of, or maybe some that you're thinking, you know, people should really be looking at this right here because these are great courses.
Thank you for that question. So within the division, we say we have three main buckets or areas or units that offer programs. So I'll talk about those three, which are workforce development, community development, and languages and culture. So within workforce development, we do a lot of career training, certificates, or professional development. So our most popular are allied health, because those are in demand and they're essential. And you know, we have a very robust CNA PCT program, and we were the very first online hybrid program that was approved through Maryland Nursing Board. So we have a very reputable program there. We have a patient care technician program, ophthalmic technician program, a lot of technician programs that after you finish the course, it leads directly into job. And we actually have a lot of people coming and knocking on the doors going, we want your graduates, we want your completers. We also have a very robust program in early childhood and education. And some of the new things that they're doing is social emotional intelligence learning. So how do you teach people with social emotional concepts and with mental health being such an important thing, getting it to them when they're early, right? Early childhood or early elementary is very important. So we do a lot of professional teacher training around that. We have business and computers technology courses. We have PMP, project management, and other trades. And apprenticeships is also part of the program there. And I wanna just sort of highlight, we received recently a grant through Google where we are able to offer Google IT certificate for free. And we just released it in May. We got overwhelming responses and the first cohort was only 15. So it was really hard for us to pick that 15, but we'll be doing another cohort in the fall and we're hoping to double that number. And you know, do at least 30, if not 45, to offer these free IT certificates. And with the Google IT certificate, they can get entry-level IT jobs. And we're very excited to partner with Google to do that and offer those classes for free, especially now that with COVID, there's so many unemployment and people looking to change career path. They should definitely come talk to us because we have various options for them. And then if I were to go over to community development, under community development, we offer Kids on Campus. So we offer camp programs in the summer that are, and what distinguishes us is that we highlight the fact that we are in a college. So this is academically challenging as well as fun. So it's not just come and, you know, we'll babysit your kids. We really want them to have an intellectual, academic, challenging experience while having fun. So we disguise it. We say, you know, learn how to make a video app or come play Minecraft, but we're putting in coding and all those other things they need. So, you know, that's a very, very popular program. We also have personal enrichment, seniors program for adults with special needs, and you know, all those other things that you're looking at when you're thinking about community. And in our languages and culture, we have English as a second language, all the foreign languages, and all the cultural awareness classes. And along all those areas, we also offer contract training. So customized training for organizations and companies and employers to help them develop in any of those areas. So, you know, we had a local company come to us and said, you know, we have really hardworking employees, but they need a little bit more English. So we, you know, contracted with them and provided, you know, essential English to their employees. We have you know, companies that come to us and say, you know, we have these group of really highly motivated emerging leaders. We want to develop them in leadership skills. So we provide supervision skills, leadership skills. So we are able to tailor their need and provide training for to fill those needs.
You guys do so much. and you guys have it, you know, I love that you have divided it into three different, I guess, branches almost, right? So it's clear to understand, okay, workforce development, you know, we're dealing with the people, as it says, in the workforce, right? And designing programs and certificates and things for those people who are looking to further within their careers, right? We have the community development, the Kids on Campus, and all of the other things that are for our community. And I'm sure that you guys are partnering with different community organizations and really listening then to everybody, to the needs from our community and what they are asking for. And then the languages and the culture. And I, as I've said in a couple of different interviews before, all you have to do is go take a walk anywhere in Howard County, really, and you'll realize why it is important to, you know, try to learn about languages and culture. And, you know, for those people who come to this country, the same, it is the same thing. So getting immersed into this culture and to learn the language is really, really important and can make a difference on your life and the impact that you can make in this community. Now, it's clear to see how all of the services can continue to be provided when we are in a regular situation before COVID times and all of that, right? But COVID is still very much with us, and it seems like we're going to continue to have to adapt to it for a little bit until we figure out exactly how to manage it properly. So how is this impacting the different classes, the different services that you guys are able to offer, for instance, this summer, right, with kids on campus and for seniors and all of the other areas? Are you still offering all of the programs, some of the programs, and how's that process working out?
Yeah, so, you know, unfortunately, we were not able to pivot all of our classes to remote online delivery because of the hands-on nature of those classes. You can't do, you know, AquaFit remotely because you're not in a swimming pool together, you know, that you know. So there's a limit to what you can and can't do. So unfortunately, we've had to cancel many of our classes, and, you know, even for courses where the refund policy and the refund period was way over, we wanted to really honor their commitment to us and our commitment to them. So we refunded as much as we can to all the courses for students who are already in progress who could not complete their semester, and then for all the classes we had to cancel. And then immediately we asked the program managers to say, all right, all of these in-person offerings, what can we put online? And we want to make sure that we want it to be high quality and we want it to be effective. So, you know, bearing all those things in mind, the program managers really worked hard to put those things online. So we have a limited offering online, not as robust as we usually do. We usually over 100 plus courses in personal enrichment. Well, the offering is not going to be that robust, but we will be offering classes in the fall. Our summer programs are all online, so we had to put Kids on Campus online, we had to put our language classes online, and all the workforce classes are online. And starting in July, we'll be able to bring some of those clinical portions on campus to the hands-on portion, because that's, again, required by the board, the licensure. So we're really working around it, but we do want to make sure that our students and our faculty and staff are safe, because that is very important. And when we bring them on, we want to make sure that we are mindful, we're keeping all the safety regulations and social distancing in mind. So we're really working to make sure we're ready for them in July when they come back. And that will be very small groups, in groups of 10 or less. So maybe I'll take this opportunity to talk about some of the different types of online classes we are offering. So we are offering classes in two different modes. We have what we're calling flexible online, which is the programs that you're most familiar with. You know, if you take your online classes at the time that is convenient for you, you log in, you go through the modules, and we have very interactive pieces that are built into the course so that it doesn't feel like you're alone taking the online class. We try to build a community around the online platform. So there's a lot of recording and feedback going back and forth even in that flexible online course. The different kind of course that we offer is we call it Schedule Remote. And what they do is they meet at a designated time, mostly on Zoom, to have a class interactively in person. And for that, you know, it's like signing up for a class. It's going to have a scheduled time and date where you're supposed to meet. And for people who want that interactive experience and have that flexibility in their schedule to sign on at that time, that's an excellent opportunity. And many of our personal enrichment courses are doing the schedule remote where people are coming in on Zoom at the same time.
I want to go to the enrollment process, because I know that to get enrolled into traditional courses at HCC, there's a certain procedure that needs to happen, a certain process, you know, 5 steps that people need to follow. Do people need to follow those same steps in order to register for the continuing education and workforce development?
No. So for most of our classes, they're all what we call open enrollment. So you can register without an application process. You pick the courses you want, you register. There are certain classes that have a specialized registration process because we want to make sure that you are going into the right class. So for example, English as a second language, we talked about it. They have a special registration process because people can't self-assess. They're either assessing too high or too low, right? To a right class. And we want to make sure that they go into the right level so that they can get the most out of the class. So they would have a scheduled registration session where they come in, there is an interview, there's a test, nothing scary. Everything is very friendly. But the whole purpose is to just get you at the right level. So we have certain classes that have a registration process, not an application process. We have certain programs that do have an application process, and those are very highly selective programs. So the Google IT program that I shared, that has an application process because it's a grant sponsor. They have a very limited number of seats, so we're trying to figure out who the best candidates are. So there's a process there. Our apprenticeship programs have an application process because many of our apprenticeship programs are a dual program. So they are supported through the continuing education, but the course itself are, many of them are credit courses. And at the end of the apprenticeship, they get a degree or certificate or credits along with their apprenticeship completion. So, you know, we follow that process. And we have a special program for international students who are here to study English full time, and we sponsor F1 visas for them. So they have a special process. So it's unique, but I wanna say that we're very agile and flexible, and the application process is not to weed anybody out, it's to make sure that they're getting to the right place.
And then you have a clear understanding of what's needed and how it works and everything else. So it makes perfect sense. Now we were talking also about COVID and how it has affected, and you know, you were talking about some of the challenges of, you know, some of the courses that you had to stop offering because, well, as you said, we don't all have a pool at home that we can do, you know, exercises in, right? But you know, knowing that the classes need to continue to be offered online and the ones that you are offering online, what are some of the ways and some of the methods and the tools maybe that the instructors are using right now to connect with students and to continue to provide that top education?
Yes. So you know, I talked about it a little bit when I was talking about the flexible online and schedule remote, but we really want to make sure that we're not just putting classes online and saying, have at it, right? We want it to be meaningful, engaging, and interactive. And we actually, as a college, have been really primed for this because we've not only been doing online education for a while, but last year, our Vice President of Academic Affairs declared the year of active learning. So as Academic Affairs, what we did was we did a series of workshops and had a lot of conversation about how do we make our learning active, right? Not a passive, here you teach me, I will learn, I will take in whatever you say, but having learners be at the center of that learning experience so that it is meaningful and interactive. So, you know, we were ahead of the game when we needed to move everything online because that was at the forefront of everyone's thought this year. So that continued in the online format to say, how do we make it active and engaging and interactive? So they're using a lot of tools to be able to do that. You know, professors are using Kahoot and they're using different, you know, interactive things. They're doing synchronous meetings. They're doing asynchronous video conversations back and forth. They're being very creative, but it doesn't feel like you're going into this vast world of internet and you're there taking this class alone. We try to create a community around our online classes.
So that you can still feel that you're in the classroom interacting with everybody, even though you are at home and doing it online. I think that not only professional perspective, also from the standpoint of when we, you know, distance, it's really important right now to be able to connect in those ways and continue to have that feeling and sense of community with others. you said you mentioned some of the courses that are being offered online. Did you also talk about the camps maybe that are available for kids on campus this summer?
Yes. So we are offering camps. We usually have a bigger offering, but this year, because of this, we had to quickly change. And, you know, some of our most popular courses are creative writing for elementary and middle schoolers, you know, algebra review, some of those more academic ones, because we have very good teachers teaching them in an interactive, fun way. We have a lot of coding and technology classes. And like I said, a lot of them are guised into like Minecraft or video apps, but we do a lot of coding and a lot of STEM related courses. So we have those, as well as some of these other creative things that they might want to do. So, you know, we have a lot of offerings. We are not doing a traditional camp, like come 5 days and all morning, all afternoon, because mm-hmm. online learning is not effective when you're sitting in front of the screen for a very long time. Mm-hmm. So a lot of them is, you know, here is something, they have a shorter meeting, but with a lot of activities and work that they can be done at their own time, so that the students are not glued to the screen for a very long time. So, you know, they change 3.5 hour classes to 1.5 to 2 hour classes. There, some of the courses are not meeting every day. Some of the courses are meeting every day. So we had to be a little bit more flexible with the offering.
So that you can go to howardcc.edu and you can just search for what you're looking for, and that you can get all of that information.
Yes, so you just /KOC and then you can go right into all the courses.
Perfect. And Mina, you've mentioned a couple times scholarship programs and that you guys are here at the Continuing Education and Workforce Development. I want to unpack them a little bit, and I want to explore what they are and, you know, how easy or challenging they can be for somebody who's studying and working at the same time, and why it's a good idea, though, to consider an apprenticeship program.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we are very excited about our apprenticeship programs, and majority of our apprenticeship programs that we offer, we call them non-traditional. So a lot of times, you know, apprenticeships has been around for a while, and a lot of times when people think about it, they go, oh, it's the electricians, the, you know, HVAC, it's the construction. Those are the typical things that come to mind, a lot of the trades programs. But there has been a resurgence of apprenticeships as a model for learning and model for talent recruitment instead of just looking at those trades. So we looked at the program because we were looking at several needs. We saw that a lot of our students have to work, you know, as a community college, many of our students are working. So many of them are either in a part-time or full-time job taking classes because they want to better themselves, but they need resources in order to do it. And we also saw our employers who are saying, you know, they're coming to us and saying, oh, we need good employees. But when you look at the requirements, they want 1 to 2 years of experience. And it's an entry-level position. So where do you get that experience? And many of the colleges, because of that, have been looking at internships and, you know, these other career opportunities while they're going through college. But if you already are trying to take as many classes as you can and have a part-time or full-time job, trying to stick in another internship or all those experiences to put yourself ahead is a very difficult thing. So we looked at the apprenticeship as a solution and a win-win for both of those options. So employers who need the talent pipeline, right, can invest in the students early and say, you know what, you take these classes and you'll get your degree and you have a job with us. And many of the apprenticeships, you know, they have an agreement where they say, you know, your program is 2 years and after you're done, I want you to work with us for another 2 years. So, you know, they have that guarantee of an employee. And for our students, now they can get that job. But it's not in a, you know, it's not in an unrelated field, but it's in a field that they're studying in. So they're merging what they're learning right with what they're working, and they're able to get the hands-on experience. So they no longer need to find another job. They have a job while they're going to class. So apprenticeship students are employed. by their employee sponsor, and they're getting paid, and they're going to school for free because the employers are paying for the tuition. So that's a great deal for our students as well. So I think it's a win-win. Our employers are getting the talent, and they are able to cultivate and foster their employee in the way they want. And the students are getting the hands-on experience and free education while they're still earning money for their family and for themselves. So it's a perfect match, and we're very excited that all of our apprenticeship programs and our students have remained employed and have been working because they're all in the essential fields. So we're very happy about our programs, our students, and our employer sponsors. We're very thankful to have them.
Sounds like a great opportunity for anybody. We've mentioned, unemployment. That was some of the things that we mentioned at the beginning. You know, it's no surprise to anybody right now that that's part of our reality with COVID-19, a lot of people losing their jobs. But I know you guys have the Business Training Center. And I know you mentioned earlier also that employers come and they knock on your doors and they say, you know, we want some of your students. We want those people who you guys are training. So I want to talk about, you know, how you're continuing with your classes. I know you talked specifically about the apprenticeship program, but, you know, in the Business Training Center, for somebody who's not looking for an apprenticeship but is looking just to further their careers, how are you guys working, continuing to work together with the businesses in our community and helping put students in jobs and you know, just get our economy back in place, I guess?
Yes. So we are very active in our business community, and we try to, the senior director of workforce development, we have a director of client solutions whose main task is to go out there, talk to our businesses, listen to their needs, and try to make these matches. So we're always out there listening to our community to say, what is it that we need? How can we match? And it's not like, what can I get from you? We really go in with, we want to hear about your programs, your concerns, and we want to see how we can help you. So this is a very collaborative relationship that we have. And we try to work very closely with them to listen to that and to provide. We also work very closely with our community partners. So in our Business Training Center is housed in the Maryland Innovation Center at Gateway, which is where Howard County Economic Development Authority is. So we work very closely with them. And within the Maryland Innovation Center, there's a small business development, center. So we work very closely with them. We work very closely with our Columbia Workforce Center, and they work with unemployment and retraining and uptraining our employees. And whenever a company of a certain size lays off more than X number of people, they're required to go through the Workforce Center to work with them. And we work very closely with them for those people who are laid off or unemployed to help them get the training they need to get to the next goal. And in fact, I was talking to Fran Trout, who's the director of the Workforce Center, and she told us that we are their number one training partner. So, they come to rely on us, and we come to rely on them.
And to know that there is those partnerships, to know that you guys are listening, to know that you guys are not just coming up with classes because of your personal experience, but rather because of those fluid conversations that you're having with the community, I think it's really, really important because the workforce continues to change. You know, there are jobs. When I was looking for jobs, I don't even remember, years ago, maybe 7-8 years ago, I don't remember seeing a social media job, and now I see so many of them, right? And there's new jobs that are being created, and it's important to continue to be engage with the community, hear what they are needing, hear what the new jobs are, so that we can continue at HCU to provide them with those new jobs, those new trainings, so that we can continue to put people in places where, workplaces with the right skills so that they can be ahead of everybody else who's looking for that job. Mina, we've talked about a lot, and it sounds like, I really feel like we only kind of like scratch the surface of everything that you guys do. And like, we would need another hour to really be, go deep in our conversation. But from everything that you guys do at the division, and everything that you've continue to build and everything that you guys are providing, what do you feel, what are you most proud of? What's the thing that you feel that, you know, this is a great accomplishment, and I just love that this is going on?
So I would say I am most proud of our faculty and staff who work within the division. When the global pandemic hit, right, nobody was prepared for it. And the request was big, and request was overnight. And they just jumped on it, and they continue to be positive. And when I took this position, this particular position about 3 years ago, we did a work session as a division to really focus on the why, right? So we wanted to have a very strong conviction of what it is that we're doing and why we're doing them. And at that time, there was this resounding commonality that we found within the staff who work in the division to say their why, the reason why they wake up every morning to come to work or turn on the computer these days, right? was because they wanted to help people. And truly, that's what they're doing every single day. They're here to help people. And I see that in their work and in their passion. So I am most proud of the people I work with. And the people they serve, and collectively we're serving together. And you know, if I can say one more thing, I have to say I'm also very proud of the new apprenticeship programs that we created. I dare say with my own mouth that we are a leader when it comes to non-traditional apprenticeships, right? We were the first ones in the state to really tie a credit degree program to an apprenticeship program, have these employers come to the table and you know, advise us through the process and build something. And now we have it in construction management. We have it in IT with AT&T. We have it, you know, with biomedical technicians, and we're creating these, and we're going to continue to create those. And I'm very proud of not only our staff and faculty in our division, but the collaborative approach that the college is taking, not to say, oh, we are, you know, science, engineering, technology, this is what we do, and you are continuing education, workforce development, this is what you do. But as a college, we came together and said, hey, there's this need, and, you know, we can creatively solve this, and we can be very innovative. And we came together to do that. And I talked to my other colleagues at colleges, and they're like, oh, how did you get your credit faculty at the table to do this? And I'm like, they came willingly, because they saw the vision, they really believe in the mission, and were able to do this for our students, for our employers, and for our community. So I'm very proud to be working at Howard Community College.
And, you know, I think that speaks volumes of what HCC really is, and I keep hearing it from everybody that I've interviewed and everybody that I continue to talk to from the different divisions of HCC. It really is not about me and my division. It really is about the students. It really is about providing them seriously the path to get where they want to be. And if that's through our division, wonderful. But if that's not through our division, we will be the first ones to tell them, you know what, you actually need to go over here, because that's where they can offer you everything that you really need. So I love that, because it really shows the heart of HCC, and it really shows that right there in the middle of everything, you know, is the students, and it's really their future that everybody's thinking about, and it's really their success that everybody wants. And that's the commitment. That's the commitment. It's not a personal thing. It's the students first and foremost, you know, and their success. And we'll do, and we'll all hold hands and work together to make that happen for everybody who comes to HCC. How can people connect with you, Mina, and with your division right now? If there are more questions, if they want to find more information, if they want to maybe look at enrolling in some of the programs or Kids on Campus or everything else that you guys offer.
Yes. So the easiest way for them to, I think, check out our classes would be our website. And they can go through howardcc.edu/CE. for continuing education, or they can find us from the homepage as well. They can also call us. We are monitoring our phones. It's 443-518-1700, or email us, which may be the easiest for them, and it's continuingeducation@howardcc.edu.
So send your email or make that phone call, you know, get in touch and ask those questions, get enrolled, you know, move ahead in your career. I think one thing that we have learned from COVID-19 and from quarantine and everything else that continues to come our way is that we need to continue to be flexible. We need to continue to keep learning. We need to continue to be, to try to stay ahead of everything else, right? And use the opportunities to just move ourselves forward and create opportunities really for ourselves. Is there anything else you would like to add before we wrap our conversation up today?
I would like to say that this is a hard time for everyone, right? COVID-19 has probably left no one unaffected by it. So everyone's been affected by it to some degree, some more than others. And it's really highlighted some of the good aspects of our community, as well as some of the needs. And I just want to make sure that the community knows that we are here for them. We are here to help them through, and we have services, we have scholarships and grants for certain programs. And if nothing else, we have people who are willing to talk and see how we can help. So I want them to reach out, if they have an idea or if they have a question or concern. We are a community college, and as a higher education premier location of Howard County, we want to make sure that we are accessible. And we want to say that as a community, once this is over, we're not going to go back to the norm the way we used to. We're not going to go back to our lives and our work the way we used to do those things. And we're going to have to reimagine what this new norm is going to look like and reimagine what new workplace is going to look like. You mentioned, you know, some of these positions that did not exist before. You know, there will be a future waiting for us, and we want to reinvent and reimagine those things with you. So if you're an employer, if you are in the field of developing future workers, you know, we would love to continue to partner with you to reimagine the future. And really, we want to come out of this stronger together, and we are only as strong as our weakest member. So we want to make sure that we become a stronger community together.
Connect with us. We are Dragon Digital Radio.